Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate through our sermon on Luke chapter 21, the passage you've just heard read. And the theme for today's address is the do's and don'ts of discipleship. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit on Max this day, for welcoming him into your family through holy baptism. We pray that you continue to bless him throughout his life and that you bless him with the gift of the Spirit and that you bless us with that same gift today as we meditate on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's clear from today's reading that Jesus is no salesman trying to sell a product or no director of marketing trying to improve the brand or image of his company. That Jesus is no telemarketer trying to push the latest package on us. We can all be thankful for that. Jesus today comes to us in a very different manner and a very different feel to the way people often do in our day. You see, if Jesus was trying to sell us something, he wouldn't say any of the things that he says today in Luke 21. If Jesus was simply out to attract customers or something like that, he wouldn't speak in this way. So what's Jesus up to? What's he doing? Well, we know that Jesus is not in the business of drawing in customers, but in the business of making disciples. And a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a student of someone else. And today, Jesus is actually speaking to his disciples, to his followers, his students, those who are already with him, those who are coming to him, those who want to learn from him. That's the context of the conversation today. And so I want us to think a bit about some of the advice he gives on what it means to be his disciple, and especially as we approach these signs of the end of all things that he's talking about. What are the do's and the don'ts of discipleship according to Christ? Well, I'm going to list some for you. Firstly, the don'ts of discipleship. The first lesson from the rabbi Jesus today is don't be carried away by what you see. The disciples are talking about, remarking on, impressed by the temple. The temple was in Jerusalem and the temple was an impressive structure. Had these great big marble columns and these gold and bronze doorways, and it was stunning. It was beautiful. And the disciples are kind of swept up in this and they're talking about this, and Jesus says, yep, and one day it'll all come crashing down. It's a way to kind of dampen their enthusiasm, isn't it? One day it'll all come crashing down. What's he doing? What's he want them to see at this moment? Because Jesus loves the temple, right? Jesus goes to the temple throughout his life. He works at the temple. He talks at the temple. He worships at the temple. In fact, his ministry revolves around that temple. And yet, when his disciples, the moment his disciples seem to be getting carried away with the temple, Jesus reins them back in. Yep, one day it'll all come crashing down, he says. What does he want to caution us about? What does he want us to warn us about? I think what Jesus is getting at is that there are things in this life we get carried away by, overly impressed with, and he says it's just not good for you. Don't be carried away by things that are passing away. Don't pin your hopes on external stuff that is here today and gone tomorrow. And it's not just the temple. It's our church buildings. It's the houses we live in. We could extend it to include any human philosophy and ideology and technology and trend and fashion and whatever it is. Anything that is here today and gone tomorrow, Jesus says, be careful. Don't get carried away with it. Don't invest everything within it. This is one of his lessons, or the first lesson today, on what it means to be his disciple. The second point he makes is not to be deceived by who you see or who comes speaking to you in my name. He says, many will come, claiming, I am he, the time is near. Do not follow them, he says. Jesus is saying, don't just be aware of this infatuation with human things on one hand, but also be aware of the infatuation with human beings that we sometimes have. Spiritual gurus, would-be messiahs, people who claim to know everything. Jesus says, be careful. People will come and do this and they will lead other people astray. I want you to not follow them. In other words, I want you to test everything, to test everyone, to be discerning about things. By the way, pastors included, right? To test every word you hear, to test it against the word of God and to see if it stacks up. Don't be deceived by people who will come in my name, Jesus says. Not all of them should be followed. Matthew Henry, famous Bible commentator, writes, what Jesus is saying to his disciples tends more to engage their caution than to satisfy their curiosity. You see, the disciples want to know, you know, when's all this going to happen and what are going to be the signs and can you break it down for us? And Jesus says, you know, it's not for you to know everything. And maybe it's not even good for you to know everything. But I do want you to be cautious of people who claim to know everything. Even Jesus didn't claim to know everything. You remember the times and dates the Father sets by his own authority? Even Jesus doesn't. So he tells us to be cautious of those who would. Thirdly, so do not be carried away by what you see. Do not be deceived by who you see. And do not be frightened by what you might see. Now, Jesus says, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. They must happen, he says. And he goes on, he talks about earthquakes and famines and pestilence and fearful events and signs from heaven. You see what I mean? That he's not really selling the product here. But there's something important about what Jesus is doing. He's saying, in this life, there will be many things that will come along and they will feel like the end. And they may even be, in some sense, the beginning of the end. And yet he says, when that happens, I don't want you to be frightened. Someone asked me during the week, do you think this sort of thing could include climate change, which is obviously, you know, on our world's agenda and on our people's minds? Personally, I don't see why not. I don't see why it couldn't include that. I don't think Jesus' list is supposed to be exhaustive. He's not trying to tell us everything that will ever happen. He's just saying a lot of bad stuff will. And when it does, do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. This stuff happens, and a lot of it happens on account of humanity. And that's perfectly in keeping with our biblical understanding of humanity and our anthropology, which says that we're sinful and we do the wrong thing. Jesus says many things will happen on account of that, but when they do, not if they do, but when they do not be frightened. Be calm. Keep your heads, right? Like the psalmist, though an army encamp around me, yet my heart will not fear. This is the encouragement from Christ today about when we see these signs and experience these happening, I want you to be calm. I want you to keep your head. That's what the world needs of you. Right? It doesn't need more media, more hysteria, more alarmism. It needs a calmness to approach these things. If you think about, you're a resident in New South Wales or Queensland at the moment, and there's bushfires around you, and you think about being in that place. What do you need in that place? You don't need media, you don't need hysteria, you need calmness, and you need people who are actually helpful, like firefighters, like Tom, right? He's in the CFS. Okay, you need people who are going to help. You need emergency services. You need people with experience, but you need people who have a bit of common sense and are just going to come in and do what they can to help you. And what I hear Jesus is saying is, you should be those people in the world. In every crisis situation, there should be a Christian there who is calm enough to do something useful. Frederick Brunner, another Bible commentator, writes this, in any time of crisis, Christians should be the calmest people on the block. Should be, right? We know that we're not always. but we should be, because we know, we're told there's a bigger picture. There's an eternal perspective. There's a framework here within which God is working. There's more going on than meets the eye. That's our confession of faith. And so if we believe that, it should have an impact on the way we approach anything that comes. Anything that comes. So, don't be carried away by what you see, deceived by who you see, frightened by what you might see, or surprised by who might see you and what they might do as a result of that. Now, this is when Jesus starts talking about, before these things happen, they're going to seize you and persecute you, and they're going to pull you before kings and governors and all this kind of persecution that's going to come. Then he says, by the way, it might even come from the people you least expect it to come from. Parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends. A lot of you have experienced this kind of thing in your own life. Jesus says, yeah, don't be surprised by it. You know, at one point he says, if they did this while the tree was green, what do you think they'll do when the tree is dry? Speaking about himself. If this is how he was treated, what do you expect if you're going to follow him? This too is the life of discipleship, and it's a hard part of the life of discipleship. But Jesus says, if you're going to be my followers, you're going to need to take up your cross and follow me. That's part of the deal. And yet he says, in these times of challenge, mistreatment, persecution, whatever you want to call it, you will bear testimony to me. You will bear testimony to me. In other words, therein lies your opportunity to be a witness. You know, a lot of us look for opportunities to witness. We probably don't see them coming like this. But that's what Jesus says. When these things happen, or this stuff happens to you, that's your moment. That's your time. That's when you're called to stand up and be who I've called you to be. Now, a lot of us as Christians or followers of Christ can be pretty anxious about that and can be worried about, okay, when's it going to happen to me? And when it does, what am I going to say? And you know what Jesus' next piece of advice is? Do not worry about what you will say. Do not worry beforehand what testimony you will give. In another translation, it even says, do not prepare in advance your words. It's pretty counterintuitive, isn't it? His point is, I will provide everything you need in that moment to do what I'm calling you to do. He speaks of giving us the words, giving us the wisdom, giving us the ability to bring what he wants into every moment. The question is just, are we relying on him? Are we trusting him? Are we prayerful? Because if we are, in that moment, he promises to give it to us. And so we're called not to get carried away by what we see, not to be deceived by who we see, not to be frightened by what we might see, not to be surprised by who might see us, and not to worry about what we will say when that opportunity does come. Those are a few don'ts of discipleship with Jesus, but to close, I want to list a few of the do's. If we're not supposed to be carried away by what we see, what are we to be carried away or interested in? The first point is to be carried away by his wisdom. Jesus is called the wisdom from God. And what he wants for us in any situation in life is a bit of wisdom. And wisdom is not just knowing about him, it's being able to know about him and bring that to bear on the situations we find ourselves in. So the knowledge is important, but it's knowledge coupled with a bit of Christian tact, a bit of sanctified common sense, right, that can connect human experience with the wisdom of God. That's what we're called to have and called to be. And Jesus says, you be like that and no one will be able to resist it or contradict it. That's my promise. Secondly, he says, do be led by my word, by his word. That's where we learn the wisdom of God. That's where it comes to us, through his word, as we get to know it, as we understand it. Being a disciple means learning something. And he says, this is what I want you to learn. This is my word to you. And the psalmist says, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. Be carried away by his wisdom. Be led by his word so that you can be calmed by his presence. He says, many people will come in my name and they will claim I am he. Don't you follow them, he says. Many will come in my name. It's his name. It's his power. It's his presence. He says you don't need the false messiahs. You just need the presence of God in your life. And it's a calming presence. Remember the bushfires, right? What do you need in that scenario? You need a calming presence. And God says, that's exactly what I have come to be in your life, your calming presence. So be calm by it. His promise to Max today, you know, in his baptism, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I'm never going to leave you, Max. It's his promise to you in your baptism as well, that you have a calming presence in your life. Maybe you don't experience it anywhere else, that kind of calm. But God says, that is what I want to bring in your day-to-day existence. Fourthly, you're not to be surprised by the persecution that comes your way, he says, but you are to be surprised by the joy. Joy is something God desperately wants to bring into each one of our lives, I believe. And often it's unexpected. Often it happens when we don't think it's going to happen, because there's all this other stuff going on, and there's chaos in the world, and there's maybe chaos in our own lives, even in our own hearts, and all of a sudden, something happens, and it's a ray of sunshine. It's a moment of joy. And it's from God. And we maybe don't always acknowledge it from God, but Jesus says, I've come to bring you joy, and it's a joy that's planted so deep in your heart that no one can ever take it away from you. How do you get that joy, right? That's the joy of knowing whose you are, whose disciple you are, how safe you are in his hands. That's the joy God wants to bring into our day-to-day lives as well. Finally, he wants us to stand firm in his promises. You notice you get this whole text full of all these signs and stuff that's kind of hard to hear and hard to interpret. And then this last two verses at the end. Not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. In other words, these things are not the path to ruin that they might sometimes appear to be, but they are the path to glory because they're the path to God. And there's no way around them. And yet this is the path of discipleship. And it's a good path to walk because it includes all of these things. And Jesus says, and I'm with you through all these things. And when you stand firm, when you endure them, when you walk through them with me, the gift at the end is life, eternal life with him. Not because of what you do or don't do, not because of what you have or haven't done, but because he is your Lord who has died and risen again for you, because it stands or falls on him, not on us. That's the good news. The question is just on whom do we stand? The call here at the end of our text is to stand firm in the promises he has made us, to stand firm in the wisdom he has given us, to stand firm in the word he presents to us, to stand firm in the calming presence in our life, to stand firm and receive all the joy and peace and blessing he has to offer. Let's pray that we would do so. Heavenly Father, you call us to be your disciples through Christ. You call us to follow you. There's some pretty hard things you want us to follow you through. But we know that just as your son walked that path to the cross, we can also walk it with him. And we know that through that path lays ahead of us your glory. So, Father, walk with us in this life each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.